your portfolio, though, right?
Yes. Yep.
Mics are live.
Okay. Good morning, everyone who's listening. We will begin this work session on North Dakota case number PU-16-539. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Crassus and Fedorchak, and as well as Zach Pelham and Jerry Lean, our legal counsel and engineer that have worked on this case. And I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Crassus, to you.
No opening comments.
I'll just turn it over to you, Julie. This is your portfolio, sure. Then. And
very good.
Forward.
Thank you, Randy. So we had one other work session on this and went through the request for a hearing. And did we get back to that person? I believe our decision after that meeting was to deny that request, but maybe I'm just recalling what I think we should do. Did we officially do that, Jerry?
No. We were going to have an order.
Oh, we were going to do
it?
Yeah.
And so we're working on that now, and it should be on the September 6th meeting.
Okay. So that's going to be a separate order?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then the other issue, and we talked through all of that, all the issues on the request for a hearing. I don't need to discuss that anymore. Do either of you need to go through any of those issues again?
I do not.
I do not, but I'm just going to say that should have been out. I didn't know we needed to approve it in a meeting. I guess I had forgotten, but we should have gotten back to her already before this.
I wasn't thinking that it was right to report back and tell them till we do it. So, I mean, we'd take the action and then they'd get notice of the action.
It's probably right to bring it to a meeting, but just seems like it's kind of long ago. But anyway, now we're at this point, so I don't.
You left it, in the work session where we were going to get you an order to deny.
Okay. All right, so that's that. We'll take care of that with the next commission meeting. So then it just comes down to the any remaining issues on the project. And so there's an order here that Jerry has put together. And so for this purpose of the this work session, and also to kind of go through things with Commissioner Crassus, who wasn't part of the original order, maybe it would be helpful to just walk through the order, and then as issues come up that we want to discuss, we can do it that way. Does that work for you both?
That's good for me.
Okay, so Jerry, do you want to sort of walk us, Jerry and Zach, whoever is appropriate, walk us through the order?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay. And we can probably just start with the findings of fact, right? Do we need to go through the preliminary statement?
If you want to look at the preliminary statement, that's going to be the basis of our order denying. We'll use all of that same, all the way up to where we issued the notice of opportunity.
Okay.
And so
denying
I just
hearing request.
Yeah, denying the hearing request. And so I don't think we need to go through it unless you want to. But Brian, it does give you a good background of what went on in the proceeding. And so, if you'd like me to just start with findings of fact, is that good?
That works for me.
Okay. Finding number one, Glacier Ridge is a Delaware limited liability company authorized to do business in North Dakota. And two, Glacier has been issued the certificate of site compatibility number 51, designating a site for phase one. Glacier Ridge now proposes to begin phase two of the project. Together, phase one and phase two of the project will consist of 87 turbines and 12 alternates for a total of 300.15. I'm going to change that. Now proposes to begin. So it almost sounds like they're ready to start construction. So I'll change that to something else.
Well, and you should, under number two, just say designated site for phase one. I think it would be helpful to say how many turbines and stuff were included in that one, wouldn't it?
Did we already have that?
I looked back. I didn't see that.
Okay.
Just so that it's more, I mean, I think it's fine to combine them there. And you can do the subtraction, I guess, by taking out phase two. And but it might be just more clear to add that.
I'll add the number.
I didn't see it mentioned earlier, so I agree with that. But what was the other change? Jerry, you said as you were reading it, you thought of something else that should be changed, and I didn't. I wasn't with you on that.
Glacier Ridge now proposes to begin phase two of the project. And
Which one are you on?
Number two.
Finding of fact number two.
The second sentence.
Okay. So I was on the first sentence. Okay, so now tell me what the change was.
Well, I'm going to change it to, I'll figure out something to say there, but it'll, they propose to get the permit for phase two. They're not ready to begin construction yet.
Well, and that is the good segue to actually one of my biggest questions on this. So do they need to begin construction on anything on phase two in order to qualify for better PTCs, or did they begin enough on phase one for the whole project and so nothing's going to happen until 2019 or 20?
My understanding now is that we're not looking at any further construction until 2019 or so, but that depends on when and they get a PPA for it and whatever timing the person is looking to go into service. As far as their production tax credit goes, that's really in their ballpark. I mean, it's up to them to do whatever they need to do to get their production tax credit. One of the things that they said before was that they needed to dig some holes. And we did permit phase one to allow them to go ahead with that.
Right, and did that lock in PTCs for 180 megawatts of phase one or for the whole 300 megawatts of the whole project?
I really can't tell you what they're telling the tax people, the IRS.
Well, they made it abundantly clear to us that they needed that by, they needed to do that work by December last year. That was the whole rush.
I could assume.
So it should be just as clear on this. Do they need this now or do they have a long time?
I could assume that locks in their whole production tax credit.
I think, though, too, another point, too, as Commissioner, is the reason why these projects were separated, this project was separated into two phases, was because of the PTC. Now we're on to phase two, which was, everything was heard. This was a project as a whole that was heard at the hearing and considered. It was only divided into phases when it became clear that certain easements were not readily available or weren't signed. I don't know which it would be. And the company determined and requested to separate the phases. So phase one, phase two. I don't know what the status of whether or not their PTC was approved or not approved. But for purposes of siting, we've been asked and the company has moved to approve phase two at this time. But we can certainly find out what impact phase two would or wouldn't have on the PTC and report back.
Okay, so we're at number three.
Yeah. Phase two will add 35 turbines. So if you look up before that, it was 87 turbines and 12 alternates for a total of 300.15. And the next one, phase two, will add 35 turbines. So if you take 35 from 87, you get
52.
So you get 52 turbines in phase one?
Yeah.
And there's a total of 12 alternates for the whole project. Finding four, Glacier Ridge expects to use Vista's V126 3.45 megawatt turbine generators for both phase one and phase two. Five, associated facilities to be located within phase two will include access roads and underground electrical collection and communication cables.
I'm going to jump back on you one to number three. This isn't real critical to me, but just for clarity, should it make clear that so if the 12 alternates are for the entire project, I assume some of them probably fall into phase one and some into phase two, and so does that need any further clarity that those aren't all associated with phase two? It's not a big deal to me, but I thought this was just for this when I read it. But.
Yeah, I think they're in both phases.
Well, it says there are nine proposed turbine locations in alternates in phase two for a total of 12 for the entire project.
Oh, yeah, if I see. Good point.
Mm-hmm. So are we up to six now?
Yep. Sorry about that.
Six, the anticipated cost of phase two is $173 million. With the total project cost estimated at $375 million. Seven.
Oh, the previous phase one was 52 out of 87 turbines, so about 60%.
Okay.
So how come per turbine phase two is costing so much more money? I thought this would be like $120 million and just...
Don't know.
From a per-turbine perspective.
Looking at, Commissioner, at the original order, looks like total anticipated cost of phase one is $202 million if you add 173, 375. So their math is correct on that. I don't have an answer for you as far as why phase two is 173 and the percentages maybe don't seem to add up, but...
What was the size of the phase one turbine? Same. Turbines used, same size?
I believe they were the same.
They haven't been built yet, but that's what they're planning.
Yeah. Right.
And maybe I don't know that this really matters as far as siting, but it just jumped out at me as a potential mistake because it seems like this is such a high number now.
Yeah.
Maybe just double check that.
From our point of view, the only thing that we use that number for is setting a filing fee. And the filing fee is capped at $100,000. So it doesn't really make any difference to what their filing fee is, whether it's $300 or $400 million for the overall price.
We want to be as accurate. If you just, yeah. Like I say, if that's what it is, it is. Doesn't bother me, but just because it seems so unusual compared to the other, we should just confirm that that's.
I will double check that number. Okay. Phase two project area will be 11,804 acres, bringing the total project area to 25,039 acres. Eight, and that's a study of the preferred location. Glacier Ridge evaluated the phase two footprint for natural resources, including wildlife, protected species, critical habitats, wetlands, water bodies, vegetation, and soil types. Nine, Glacier
period
Ridge.
Period there, Jerry, just as long as we're going through a number eight. There's no period at the end. Just.
Oh, a period? Yep, good deal. Thank you. Nine, Glacier Ridge conducted a Class 1 Cultural Resource Desktop Study on the Phase 2 footprint and on a one-mile area surrounding the Phase 2 footprint for archaeological resources. 10, Glacier Ridge conducted a Class 1 cultural resource desktop study on a two-mile area surrounding the complete turbine layout for architectural resources. 11, Glacier Ridge conducted a Class 3 resources field inventory for archaeological and architectural resources on areas to be disturbed by construction within the Phase 2 footprint. And all of this stuff would have been from the original hearing.
In both 9 and 12, we specify that that work was done for the Phase 2 footprint. Do you need to do that for 10 as well?
Say that again.
Do you need to, on number 9 and 11, we specify that the work has been done for Phase 2
footprint?
No, for just the Phase 2 footprint. If you look at 9, we say for the Phase 2 footprint, 11, Phase 2 footprint. I don't know, just for consistency's sake, on 10 we don't say that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Does that need to be added or not? I don't feel strongly about it, it's just a difference, so.
Let me just make a little note here and I'll
double check that.
Okay. Glacier Ridge conducted eagle and avian use studies, raptor nest surveys, and bat acoustic modeling for Phase 2. Glacier Ridge conducted a shadow flicker analysis for Phase 2. Predicted shadow flicker above 30 hours per year was estimated at one receptor. The owner of this residence has signed a waiver for shadow flicker impacts from the project. Residence 119. Glacier Ridge conducted acoustic modeling for Phase 2. Predicted sound levels are less than 50 dB within 100 feet of occupied residences. And so that's the avoidance area criteria. 15, no objections to Phase 2 of the project were raised by any federal or state agencies. 16, up to 4 permanent self-supporting MET towers will be installed in Phase 2. Precise locations of these towers will be determined at a later date. 17, the estimated permanent footprint for Phase 2 is 35.5 acres, or 0.33% of the Phase 2 project area. This includes 7 acres for 35 turbines, 28.4 acres of new service roads, and negligible acreage for junction boxes and 4 meteorological towers. The total estimated permanent impact of the project is expected to be 92 acres, as stated in the initial application. 18, the estimated permanent impact to prime farmland from construction of Phase 2 is approximately 29 acres, or 0.25%. of the Phase 2 project area. When combined with the 41 acres in Phase 1, the estimated permanent impact to prime farmland for the full project is 70 acres, or less than 0.3% of the full project area. The Commission finds that the prime farmland expected to be removed from use is of small acreage as to have a negligible impact on agricultural production. If you recall, the prime farmland is an exclusion area unless the commission finds that it's negligible impact. 19, Glacier Ridge's Class 3 cultural resource inventories identified 4 archaeological resources and 3 site leads. Avoidance was recommended for 2 of the sites, both of which are Native American artifact scatterers, and will be avoided during project construction. The State Historical Site of North Dakota has concurred with the cultural resource inventories. 2020. No exclusion areas have been identified within the Phase 2 project area.
See, back on 19, again, of small technicality, but in my conversations with them, I know it means something different when you say the State Historical Society versus the State Historic Preservation Officer. Are we required to consult with one? Are we required to directly consult with the SHPO? So do we need to use that term in our order, or is the State Historical Society of North Dakota, does it not matter?
You know, let me look at that and see. I think that we should be using SHPO.
It should be SHPO.
And then and I'll get the print.
And then if you find that, Jerry, will you go back to the boilerplate and make sure that we are consistent in that?
Sure.
Just can make sure that Pat can flag that, or maybe this came from the company's version.
This did come from the company.
Okay.
So. On 19, can you clarify again for me, is that referring to the overall project or just phase two, the phase two portion of the project?
You know, I'll have to go back and look, but as I'm recalling this, the archaeological and the historical studies were done for the whole project, and so the letter was for the whole project, and so I think that's correct.
We should be specific here, though, because everything else is referring to phase two. So if there's no identified archaeological resources or site leads in phase two, we want to make sure that we're referring to that correctly.
I agree. That's a question that could come up, or any of those located within the phase two expansion area.
I put a note in here I'll differentiate whether we got phase one and phase two or what we got there.
Okay.
20, no exclusion areas have been identified within the phase two project area. Didn't I just? Okay, 21, I thought I read that already.
No.
21, wetlands are present within the phase two footprint. Glacier Ridge testified that wetlands under easement to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will be avoided. Impacts to other wetlands will be avoided or minimized as practicable. 22, trees and shrubs are located within the phase two footprint. Phase 1 and Phase 2 will be constructed to minimize impacts to trees and shrubs to the extent practicable. All trees and shrubs removed during construction will be replaced in accordance with the Commission's tree and shrub mitigation specifications. 23, no other avoidance areas have been identified within the Phase 2 footprint. 24, Glacier Ridge has agreed to a number of steps to mitigate the impact of phase two as contained in the certification related to order provisions, wind energy conversion facility siting with accompanying tree and shrub mitigation specifications filed in this proceeding as exhibit 34 and attached to the phase one order. Number 25, Glacier Ridge has indicated that a supervisory control and data acquisition system, SCADA, will be installed for phase one and phase two, which will allow turbines to be continuously monitored and controlled at a control center located in Broomfield, Colorado. I'll add the parentheses on SCADA there. 26, there's been no eagle's nests. There are no eagle nests within 10 miles. I'm going to say that have been identified.
Okay.
No eagle's nests have been identified. Within 10 miles of phase two. And Glacier Ridge has committed to continued coordination with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the North Dakota Game and Fish concerning eagles in order to mitigate impacts to eagles for the life of the project. Glacier Ridge has obtained all land rights necessary to construct phase one and phase two. Glacier Ridge will file a decommissioning plan with the commission prior to the operation of either phase one or phase two. From the foregoing findings of fact, commission makes its conclusions. The commission has jurisdiction over this proceeding, and these conclusions are pretty standard.
Hold on 1 second on the decommissioning, just to is this consistent with our new rules then?
I believe so.
Does it have to be approved by us, though? If they just say, we'll file a decommissioning plan?
There's two now, that, and I was on the verge of a similar question.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's in the rules, so it goes without saying, or if it needs to be addressed here. But they will need, I can't remember the term we used, I'm assuming they will need to file that fee that is equal to, what was it, some percentage of the expected construction costs before beginning construction, and then that gets replaced by the expected, you know, the total amount of decommissioning before they begin operation.
I agree. I think having specifics on the financial assurances that are now a part of the process.
So there was a construction bond, basically. I don't know that we called it that, but
something
like that, and a plan that had to be filed that we approved, I believe. And I can't remember now if it was before operation that they had to have the plan approved, or if it was before construction that they had to have the plan approved. But whatever it is, maybe just reference our rules.
Yeah,
we'll file a plan and appropriate financial assurances in accordance with the commission's rule package, blah, X, and cite the code.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a look at that. And
yeah. Okay. Thanks, Zach.
So the conclusions, do you want me to read through those, or are you good?
The only other issue is the lights. I think we included something about lights in the phase one.
It's in the order.
It's in here in the...
Oh, it is. Okay, I'm sorry.
Nine.
Okay. Maybe the bonding stuff is in here, too, is that...
Let me see. I don't remember it being in there.
I don't think it is.
I don't remember seeing it.
So, should we read through the ordering paragraphs too, then?
I think so.
I think it would be good.
Personally, I don't need the conclusions of law, but the ordering ones
would
be good.
One, Glacier Ridge motion to lift the stay with respect to a decision on phase two is granted. Two, first amended certificate of site compatibility for energy conversion facility certificate number 51 is issued to Glacier Ridge for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the Glacier Ridge Wind Project. The designated site is depicted in Attachment 1 as Phase 1 project area and proposed project area phase two of the motion as updated on June 22nd, 2017. That project area, if you look back in there, in the list of stuff that was filed in this case, there was an updated project area filing there, and this is referencing that. And that's where.
And is that correct then? The designated site for phase two is depicted in attachment one as phase one?
No, it didn't say a phase two. The designated site is depicted in attachment one as phase one project area and proposed project
I
area
see.
Phase
okay.
two. So it was, at the time when that was filed, it was already designated for phase one, and they were proposing that phase two be
Got
designated.
It.
Three, within the designated site, Glacier Ridge is authorized to site, construct, and operate and maintain wind turbines and associated equipment, access roads, and operations and maintenance building, a substation, a permanent meteorological towers, and a system of underground collection lines and communication cables, as well as any other associated facilities identified in the application at the hearing and in supplemental filings. Four, Glacier Ridge is authorized to construct up to 87 turbines producing a total nameplate capacity of 300.15 megawatts within the designated site. It's phase one and phase two, along with associated access roads, met towers, underground electrical collection systems, communication cables, and a combined substation operations and maintenance building. Five, in the event that phase two project layout is modified, Glacier Ridge shall complete a Class 3 cultural resource survey for any previously unsurveyed areas affected by the project-related activities. In accordance with the... Got to change that to SHPL. Guidance, and shall submit cultural resource findings to SHPL for review and obtain and file a copy of SHPL's response with the commission prior to beginning construction in affected areas. In the event the phase two project layout is modified, Glacier Ridge shall complete a wetland determination for any previously unsurveyed areas affected by the project-related activities as necessary and file the project report with the commission. Seven, Glacier Ridge shall locate turbines such as Shadow Flicker in any current inhabited residences 30 hours or less per year, and noise within 100 feet of any currently inhabited residence is 50 dBA or less, unless otherwise agreed to by the landowner. Eight, in the event phase two project modifications occur that would change its existing acoustic or shadow flicker analysis, Glacier Ridge shall conduct a revised acoustic and or shadow flicker analysis as necessary and file the results of that analysis with the commission. Nine, subject to approval by the FAA. Got too many approvals in there. Glacier Ridge shall file commercially reasonable efforts to install an aircraft detection and lighting system or other technology suitable to the commission as soon as practicable after commercial operation. Glacier Ridge shall provide updates to the commission as to the proposed lighting system and associated federal approval status on a quarterly basis to begin 3 months after the date of this order.
We should be referencing the date on that that was approved in this legislature and putting that in there, because that will be included in our next rules package. But the legislature set a date for that. As soon as practicable after commercial operation,
but no later than,
I forget the date now, 2020 or...
I'll get it. No later than.
I do have a question on the On the order, we have, there are references to Shadow Flicker, aviation, Federal Aviation Administration rules, the lighting. I get, there isn't anything that I've seen that that talks about setback requirements for the turbine locations, or is that, it seems like we're specifying some elements, but that's a pretty important component, I think.
A lot of times in these orders in the past, we've said what the nearest one is, and that is always kind of a good piece.
Well,
or that you know, they will meet setback requirements. Ryan, it might be something simple like that, or is it not required?
Ryan brings up a good point, I think. I think we'll have to go back and look and see what the Phase 1 order says and see, but... You know, we have kind of let them move turbines around inside the project area as long as they stay so far away from, you know, whatever setbacks we've established.
The certification provides the setbacks.
Did it?
I believe so. I'll have to check.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it can't be put in.
Right.
Well, if it's in the certification, we should be good. But what I was really worried about is that we've been putting a 1,400-foot limit on distances from residences, and I was never really comfortable with that 1,400 feet. So I don't really want to establish that as a minimum. But we did, anyway, in the Lindell project and the Roulette project, because the company had agreed that they wouldn't go any closer than that, and we were just establishing at that time this idea that they could move turbines around within the project area. So.
The setback requirements, correct me if I'm wrong, they're slightly different now than they were prior. Was it just more from the commission not allowing placement within X number of feet?
Now it's the law.
Right, now it's the law.
Not right, that it's three times the turbine height. And
Is that what it says in the law?
I got to be refreshed on it, but I think that's what they decided.
I just want to make
and
sure they're written.
When they're talking, that turbine height is the tip of the blade.
Okay.
And so, like, on these, I can't remember what these came to. I believe it was...
I think they're, like, 500.
I thought they were under 500, but whatever they are, it's 1,500 feet. It's, okay. In many cases, the 2 or 2.5 megawatt turbines are going to be less than our 1,400 feet.
Okay, let me check.
But I think that's what they passed.
Yeah, we should just...
Not that long ago.
Right.
There's so much on this subject and so much back and forth.
It's because, so many specifics.
Right, because this began prior to the law, the new law being put in place.
Yeah, we just didn't approve anything less than 1,400, and right. Nobody was bringing us anything under 1,400, and so it was never an argument.
Yeah.
But now I believe they did set it into law, and we got.
Let me check that law. I think you're right. I've been forgetting that there was a three times rotor down or turbine height. Check law.
I don't see it, and I'm looking at the original order, and
it's not in the original order. It's not in the certification either.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's in our requirements in the law. So I mean, there were setbacks set through our administrative code. Prior to the enactment of the statute.
If it's in
but
the
not
law,
for residences, though.
Have to follow that period.
Not for residences. It would be roadways, et cetera, but not for residents. The question is going to be, though, is a legal one, is whether or not, because the application was made prior to the law being enacted, which law applies, we may have to look at that if there's an issue. I don't know if there's an issue with this, though.
And Jack just told me it was three times turbine height. And he told me the date, too, but I didn't catch it totally. Who will put that date in?
The date of what?
Of the...
Constructed after...
Lighting.
Oh, the date. Okay. Well, so we'll clarify what the requirement is and how that applies to this. I don't recall in the hearing any big issues over something that was closer than we usually allow, but it's not to say I'm not forgetting something.
Wasn't that one guy just kind of surrounded and he didn't like it and it was pretty borderline, but then I don't know if it was phase one or phase two, but we really need to find out what their height is on these turbines.
I can find that real quick.
Multiply by three and look at the map and see if anything is closer. Maybe it just doesn't matter. And
it may not.
Yeah.
Then if it does, we're going to have to look at to see what actually applies in this instance,
right,
as a matter of law, as to when, because the statute would have affected, unless it's retroactive, it can't be applied retroactively. The legislature has to specifically state what statutes apply retroactively. So if an application was made, I'll have to look at that, if it is. And I'll only look at that if it matters. We'll figure out, Jerry will figure out whether or not that it even makes any difference at all as to residences.
But I think the closest turbine is further than that.
Yeah. If it is within that range, though, then I guess my question, I have no idea what the answer is. What's the controlling date, when they applied or when we do an order?
This, I don't know if this is helpful or not.
I don't want to research it until I know it's an issue, because I don't want to charge you for it.
I'm looking
off the top of my head, though, Commissioner.
I'm looking at revised late filed exhibit 33, which we got on the whole project in early November. And it says that the nearest proposed turbine to a non-participating residence is turbine 79, which is located 1,966 feet from residence 25. And then it goes through other non-participants, which are all more than that, a larger distance than that.
It was 1,900 and some, you said?
1,966, yeah.
So we're probably all clear on it anyway. Probably.
Was there a specific thing passed in law about the property line?
Was
a distance from property line? 1.1. It does meet the... according to their document here, per the commission's exclusion areas, the project wind turbines must be at least 1.1 times the tip height from the property line of non-participating land or owners, or at least 541 feet. The nearest proposed turbine to a non-participating parcel is turbine 37, approximately 220 feet from the currently non-participating parcel to the north. They're currently pursuing a participation agreement with this landowner. If the landowner does not sign an agreement or a waiver, then they will be shifted to meet this. That turbine will be shifted to meet the setback, or will be replaced with an alternate location. So it sounds like those issues were covered by that, but and that all might be in Project Area 1, first phase. But
and it looks like. And we'll check on this. We'll double check on that with the company. But it appears to me, Commissioner, that turbine location 37 is within phase two and has now been signed off on. But I will confirm that.
Okay.
You know, because this was at the time when they were trying to get easements and people were out of town, and, you know, apparently. And but looking at the phase two map, turbine 37 is within a assigned easement area, but I will confirm that.
Okay. And then there, it kind of comes full circle back to Brian's question of whether we want to state in here something about setbacks, even though it's all required in law. I know we did in the Brady orders, right? I think we did in the Brady orders, because we had, and have in others, stated kind of similar to this. The project.
I think in Brady, those were modified. The company agreed to a modified increased setback.
Yeah.
Even more, I think, than the county setback at the time, which was more than what the commission required. So that may have been why they were included. But, again, I mean, I don't think that it hurts, I mean, to put it in the order. I think that's fine. We'll add that and put the setback requirements in there.
Whatever the law says.
Whatever it says.
Although there's, it's getting to be lengthy between our rules and the laws, and so is it just as effective to have one finding in here that this turbine layout meets all the requirements for setbacks in Century Code section whatever and our rules section whatever, and then it just covers railroad rights of way, and although there's not a railroad here, but all kinds of things.
Sure. No, I think that could certainly be done. And then maybe we could put the closest is, I mean, if we even wanted to put the closest, it's in the exhibit, so it's in the record, but someone would have to dig to find it. So the commission wants to put, the nearest location for phase two is turbine location X and receptor receptor X, and then the distance from that property. We can do that. I don't know that it's necessary to do that. It may be better just to put generally that the project is in compliance with state law as well as administrative code provisions from the commission.
Well,
if we do that, I think the one that we mentioned should be the distance to the closest non-participating resident, because the way the legislature passed that bill, they made clear that they looked at participants differently,
right,
than non-participants. When they put that setback in, they made it very clear that a non-participating residents, even if you didn't lease your land where you live, but you leased other land, mm-hmm, you were a participant then.
Right.
And so they looked at that differently.
To the question on whether we should just shorten the orders and say it meets all, I mean, if we're going to do that, we could pretty much just say this meets all the requirements under law. Approved.
That's all.
And then it's nothing.
A simple sentence.
That's a good point.
Just a
sentence. Right. But so, I mean, if we're going to go that route, we have kind of the habit of covering all the issues that came up, things that people care about. Then when you look back on a project, you actually have some sort of a history captured here, and it tells a story for anybody who's mad about it. Like, well, here's what we've talked about, and here's what we looked at. I hear you about they get kind of long, but.
And it's not like we print thousands of these copies off.
Right. But I do think people look at them online.
Yeah, it doesn't cost any more to add it. So it probably is good information to have.
It's a minimal amount that we would be adding at this point, so.
I just think we're talking about shadow flicker. It just seems inconspicuous by its absence.
Yeah.
That's all. Simple bullet or a sentence or however it's worded, and it's done.
So I would add a finding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make our meetings go faster.
Everything according to law? Yes. Okay. Check.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Alana is waving.
I'm going to speak for Pat.
Do you want to speak into a mic?
Oh, sorry. If Pat were here, he'd probably say we would like to look at an order and see everything in there as opposed to having to go look it up somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which I think you kind of just came to that conclusion while I was walking in.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pat. I mean, Alana. Okay, so have we gotten through it all? Almost? Looks like it.
So I think that brings us back to timing on this. I would have the order denying the request for hearing on the coming agenda.
And this order.
You want this one too?
Let's wrap it up.
I could do that.
I mean, we're close. There's just a few tweaks and a few things to finish. Check it off Zach's list. so the pile can start to go down.
And then the other piles start.
Yes, I know, because we keep adding. I don't have any other big questions. Do you, either of you, have any other big issues on this
project? I do not.
Well, not really a question, but I will just point out, I still find it, just as I did last December, highly objectionable to be approving projects like this without a buyer, without a transmission plan. To me, it's kind of a bridge to nowhere kind of a situation where we just plug things in and see how they work out. But the flip side of that is now this commission has approved and people have invested money and started construction. And so I have also objection to voting against it in the middle and being, you know, part of the cause of it being in chaos or turmoil. Halfway is under construction and the other half not approved. So that's my dilemma.
Oh, well, I was going to ask, Randy, do you feel that way about when we... Is there something about wind projects that are different than, say, a gas processing facility or other things that we permit and then they don't get constructed right away? Is there an inherent difference with wind versus the other things we cite and permit?
Well, I think a gas processing plant makes a good example. And I don't recall doing one that came in and said, we intend to build this gas processing plant on this quarter section or this section of land, but we have no idea where gas is going to come in from, and we don't know where it's going to go. And we don't have anybody who's interested in buying the process gas or selling us gas. We're just going to build something here and hope it works out. I don't recall a case.
Well, we have
that,
done.
And I would find it objectionable.
Okay. Well, we have done that with One Oak, and I think at least one, if not a couple, gas processing facilities where we permitted them, and they were not going to construct for a year later. And then they still haven't constructed because the market changed. My point is, I think we have to, from my perspective, when I think about the permitting, I think about, does the permit, what's our role? Is our role to permit just when it's ready, market ready, and the project is ready to go and be used? Or is our role to look at all the environmental, cultural resource issues, all those factors for orderly development, and say, okay, if constructed in this way, regardless of whether it's in 6 months, 3 months, or 2 years, if you build it like this, it meets those requirements. I think it's the latter. But that's, because I don't know how we'd ever be able to time our work. I'm not knowledgeable enough in the markets to be able to provide a permit when it's ready for market. We just don't have the staff to evaluate that.
Again, though, I'm hearing you more talking about the timing, and although I think these, in the hurry to get the PTCs, I didn't like that they were starting digging in 1 year and then not even planning on continuing with construction for years down the road. That's the small thing. To me, the big thing is not knowing on what transmission line the power is going to be moved, to whom it's going. I don't know, does this end up on a transmission system where capacity is short and later on we have a project that is really needed? And now the transmission capacity's gone because this is here and serving a utility and heaven knows where. And so now we need to add more transmission in order to do something that is vital for people here. It's not so much the timeline. It's the lack of clarity when you don't have a buyer or a transmission plan.
I was just going to offer maybe a Band-Aid fix for purposes of this matter, as to your concerns and the flip side that you expressed, Commissioner Crisman. I'd have to check with Alana, but I don't know that there would be anything preventing you, since you did dissent in the initial Phase 1 project, whether or not you could do a special concurrence as to this, note your previous indications, but then also indicate what you indicated just now on the flip side. That may be something that could be done. I'll have to check with Alana and if it would be even something that would you would be even be interested in, but that was just a thought I had just now.
Well, I have been and will continue to be contemplating, because like I say, now the commission has granted the approval
right.
of Phase 1.
Right. And I can understand your dilemma. Yeah.
In their minds, part of an overall plan of getting a 300-megawatt project.
And right.
Anyway, I didn't want to leave that go unsaid.
Mm-hmm. On the issue of the transmission, you know, access, and I echo your frustration with not knowing where and when and how, but I also come back to the fact that we don't really dig into that on any of these projects. That we say, do you have an agreement? Yeah or no. We're working on it. Like the one up north in the community, is it Roulette? They didn't have one. I still don't think they do. They were still working on the studies with MISO. And we just don't control any of that. And we don't have any input in it, that process. So it just feels very separate to me and not really part of the siting role.
There is a well-defined process through MISO that determines if the interconnection capability is there. If not, what would it take to get it there? And then the applicant has to pay those upgrades.
And in that process, Jerry, they look at what's on that line already, how much capacity is available, and if there isn't capacity for this, by everybody who's already connected, right, running at maximum.
You can't look at just a line. You just look at the grid. And if you bring this in here, what are the effects throughout the grid? And there will be overloads here or some. You might have to pay for a transformer upgrade over in, you know, 40 miles away. But it's modeled, and it spits out a contingency list, and it tells you what all it's going to cost to get your interconnection in. And if you agree to pay those costs, and I'm oversimplifying a little bit here, but then they go into an interconnection agreement with you, and your process for interconnecting then is spelled out in that agreement.
So if there's costs like that, you would those would be passed along to customers through the PPA or however, right? Those costs.
Say
the cost
again.
Of interconnection would be passed along to the customers.
To the generator.
The wind facilities.
Have to pay those costs.
Yep.
So he'll have to get it from his customers,
or
wholesale customers or something to make ends meet for him. But wind is different, you know, in that you bring in a project and you try to get it to go, and part of getting it to go is finding somebody that'll buy the power. And if you don't find somebody that'll buy the power, it's not going. It's that simple. There's too much money here to finance something without an agreement for the revenue coming in. The banks just don't do it. And we have issued many certificates without PPAs in place. And they sit here, certificate granted, but no PPA. They're out there trying to sell their product. And having the certificate in hand makes it that much better for them to try and sell their product. if somebody wants to buy power from you, if you can tell them that you're ready to go, then they're more apt to buy the power from you.
We've also cited many of them where we have a buyer, we have a plan, it's all clear, it's orderly development, and I expect we will do many more that way.
Yep.
And if we, you talked about the developer, if a transformer has to be upgraded, they have to pay that cost. Well, but if it doesn't, they use that capacity, and the next time when there's something that is needed by North Dakota needs to use that, well, now it doesn't have room anymore. So then it's someone else that has to pay that upgrade.
And you're,
so it does have consequences, and enough said, I think.
You're absolutely right, and that is part of the modern markets and the way things go. Those queues that are studied, those projects that are studied to determine whether or not there's going to be an upgrade required, they assume that the projects ahead of them are in service. So if you're ahead of those in the queue, you have to pay your interconnection costs as if those projects were up and running. So,
yeah, it's a lot to balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'll pull together an order for the next meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Brian, are you feeling comfortable with this? You have what you need on this project in the record?
I do. I'll have to do a little more research, but overall, very comfortable.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else for the good of the order? I should know this by now. We don't adjourn because we don't call
the
order.
I don't think so.
We just are done, right? On work sessions?
I think so.
We're done.